Good morning. Hello and welcome to North Kedona Mennonite Church. I hope you're all recovered from yesterday's shmurg. I think I'm still full. My name is Tim Ringer. I'm the Faith Development Pastor here. Before we begin today's service, if you have trouble understanding what I say, please raise your hand and I'll take that as a signal to slow down, because that usually helps. Would you please join me for the call to worship? It should be in the bulletin. And as we say the call to worship, Christian will pour water into the vase as a symbol of our thirst for God and God's quenching of that thirst. In a dry and weary land, parched and depleted, longing for your living water. And the worship team will come up.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me.
We are now going to enter a time of announcements. Some announcements to consider are number 5 in your bulletin. Next week there is going to be a potluck. The baby boomers are organizing it, but everybody is welcome to participate. We're doing this because the Faith and Life Ministries choir is going to be here. And this will be a time to enjoy the fellowship with the choir. Please bring an entree and either salad or dessert. There's going to be lots of extra people here, so if you can bring extra food, that'd be great. Number 7, the Chatham Play Group meets weekly on Wednesdays from 1:30 to 3:30. This is open to anybody who's taking care of children under 5 or before preschool, before kindergarten. It's a time for kids to play and for parents to and caregivers to connect with each other. There's lots of other exciting opportunities happening. There's a Vesper service on today in the evening at CMU at 7 p.m. And there's other announcements from the community as well. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced today? Not seeing any. We will move to sharing time. As a community, we find it important to keep each other in our prayers. If you have any joys or concerns you would like the congregation to know, please raise your hand and Astrid will bring it to you. While we're waiting for... Okay, those.
Now everybody's wondering why I'm getting up for the first time. I just wanted to announce to the congregation that I became a grandfather for the second time. My son, Michael, and my daughter-in-law, Victoria, gave birth, or she gave birth, to a brand new friend for my grandson, Micah. Her granddaughter was born on March the 11th. Fourth great-grandchild for Henry and Rosa Clausen. And I just wanted to let everybody know that everything went well, and they have a new bouncing baby girl. That's all I have to say.
Congratulations.
We are here together, holding hands, like we did yesterday, because we had such a good time.
Yes, we did. And we want to just thank everyone who came and helped at the SMORG. You know, the organizing part is really basically the easy stuff, so to speak. But it's the hard work that everybody does in the kitchen, the sweating and the working and the peeling and running around and helping and asking questions that we didn't have all the answers to. And maybe, no, we need less potatoes. No, we need more potatoes. No, we need this. And we just want to thank you all because we couldn't have that SMORG happen if so many of you didn't volunteer to help us.
So, what came out of that evening yesterday was $7,705. And I know that there's always more today. So, if we had actually sold tickets at the price of the money that we got yesterday, it would have cost each one of you $40 to eat what we had yesterday. So, let's just see how much we actually get in.
Thank you. The other thing I also wanted to mention is a lot of people don't realize how much the people in our church do at Bethania. So Franz had mentioned that maybe it's just time we maybe knew that. You helped at the Mennonite Day. You sing on a regular basis on Sunday mornings and also on a regular basis on Monday evenings. And sometimes we don't appreciate how much people in church do. And for those who come to Bethania regularly, they really appreciate it. Thank you.
One more time, thank you to everybody. We were tired yesterday, but we feel so good today. It's amazing.
Thanks.
Hello, Phil Franz Workington. I guess kind of a request. My cousin Charlotte is, she lives in Ontario with her husband, Justin, and she's studying to be some kind of audiologist. Is that what it is? Hearing audiologist. Anyways, she's doing a practicum for 3 months at Axis River East, of all places. So she and her husband are looking for kind of a short-term house sitting or like starting in May through July, I guess, or late April, I guess. They're looking for a place in this kind of neighborhood for 3 months, either, house sitting or in a renting or just some kind of short-term accommodation. So, our hide a bed is open for them, but that may get a little cramped. So just seeing if there's, if anyone knows anyone or has kind of extra space that a lovely couple would be able to stay in for 3 months, that you can talk to me and,
One last update. Jacob Dick has been moved from St. Boniface Hospital, and he is now at Hominikut on Pembina Highway. We are going to move our prayer to now instead of later on in the service, so would you please join me in prayer? The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. God of the blessed, we praise you. For mercy shown, grace given, living water, Spirit's power. We ask you for daily strength, hope for tomorrow, your word to guide, strong feet to follow. The psalmist says, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. God of the oppressed, we pray to you, we bring to you the broken ones, forgotten ones, exploited and abused ones. Bring freedom and release, love and compassion to damaged hearts and souls. God of compassion, hear our prayer. God of the distressed, we bring to you the grieving ones, hurting ones, suffering ones, and wounded ones. Bring wholeness and healing, comfort and relief to broken bodies and minds. God of compassion, hear our prayer. God of the dispossessed, we bring to you the lonely ones, the homeless ones, the thirsty, tired, and penniless ones. Bring hope and sustenance, physical and spiritual food to hungry bodies and souls. God of compassion, hear our prayer. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. May the peace, love, and compassion of the Lord be with you now and always. Amen. Could the children please come up for the children's story?
Oh, good morning. Hi, Jacob. You're being really brave. Good morning. Today in church, we're going to be talking about water. So if you look up there, you can see the fabric that's coming down off that ladder. I think that's supposed to be water. So today, the story is about water. So I'm going to ask you to tell me, what do you know about water? What do you know about water? Jasper, what do you know about water? I'm going to pick on you. It's cold. What else do you know about water? It can be warm. It can be cold. It can be warm. That's right. And it can be hot. Yes. It's made out of molecules. Some of you will have to wait a while to figure out what that means. You have a new house. Does it have water? Yes. Oh, so you can go in the hot tub. That's with water. Do you know that we are mostly made of water? In one Star Trek episode, an alien meets a human, and you know what he calls him? An ugly bag of mostly water. So I often think of that we are mostly water. Some bags are actually quite beautiful, though. And we can't live without water. If we don't have water, we would die. You know what? There is water in milk. So most of the things we eat have water. You are mostly made of water. Even if something feels really dry, there's probably some water in it. Water is everywhere. Okay, can I have my turn? Can I have my turn? And then you can talk, okay? Jesus wants to be important to us as water.
Water is everywhere. Jesus wants to be in every piece of our life. He wants to be with us when we're eating, when we're drinking, when we're cleaning, and even when we're breathing. When we breathe, we put water in our bodies too. He loves you. He loves you down to where you are just water. Yeah. So, today you have to listen, because there's no Sunday school. Watch and hear how many times you hear the word water. Okay? All right, can we bow for prayer? Dear Jesus, we are thirsty for the living water that comes from you. May we drink of your living water so we will never thirst again. Amen.
I just heard Ingrid say that chocolate milk has water in it too.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Is a time of introspection when we consider the ways that we fall short and offer them up to God. We will now turn in our insert for the confession and words of assurance. I will be the leader if you would all be the people, please. O God, you are the living water. You restore us to life. We confess that in the desert moments of our lives, we forget your faithfulness. Our bodies grow tired, our hearts dry up, our minds become clouded, and we do not remember that you are our deliverer. Forgive us, O Lord, for in the harshness of life's desert journey, we quickly focus on ourselves. We forget that you have been, you are, and you will forever be our deliverer. God, our living water, restore us. Let all who thirst come and drink from the living water. Let all who have nothing come to the Lord. Come without money or price. Come and draw freely from the well of our Lord, which will never run dry.
And if you would please rise for here by the water.
Thank you. Soft field of clover, moon hanging over the valley, joining the song of the river to the great giver of the great good. As it unfolds me, somehow it holds me together. I realize I've been singing, still it comes ringing clearer than clear. Here by the water, I've been an altar to praise Him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy. To think how a yearning kept on returning to move me down roads I'd never have chosen, half the time frozen, too numb to feel. I know it was stormy, hope it was for me a learning. Blood on the road wasn't mine though, someone that I know has wanted before. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise Him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise Him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy.
Thanks. You may be seated. And we will now be taking the offering.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after You. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You. You to worship You.
he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he had froze from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands. The man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Jesus, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not know? Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So, when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." We're now going to sing the Lent song, and it should be in your bulletin, but if it's not, the ushers will come around. Just raise your hand, and they'll give you one.
We're going to sing it through twice.
What we need, all
Good morning. I kept saying this morning, good morning, I start to look at my watch if it's still morning. It was nice meeting some of our members from this church at Britannia this morning, and some pointed out that they belonged here. Greetings to you from them. Okay, to our text today. I started out thinking about the water and the theme that's given as we thirst, and somehow it didn't speak to me. And I kept rereading the story. And then I see that suddenly realized this story is full of surprises, unanticipated outcomings. And it reminded me of many years ago, must be close to 50 now, yeah, when I was my first year in the seminary, I boasted in my youthful ignorance, or arrogance, can be the same. I boasted that nothing can surprise me anymore. So some people set out to surprise me. And they did. But this story is so full of surprises, so I thought, I really want to speak about surprises here today. There's Jesus talking with that Samaritan woman at the well. And you know, the best surprise of them all is the story has room for us. Let's consider the whole series of stories. I counted about 10 surprises. You can see if you come to the same number as you count along. The first surprise is a conversation does happen at all. The barriers between people from Judea and people from Samaria were so great, comparatively speaking, I would say it was similar to the state of Israel and the Palestinians today. They don't like each other, they don't trust each other, and they are afraid of each other. People then had just as great barriers talking with people from Samaria. That's the first surprise. Jews and Samaritans were related peoples. Both are Hebrews. The Samaritans are from the northern kingdom of Israel, while the Jews are from the old southern kingdom of Judea, or Judah. To make a long story short, the Samaritans intermarried with non-Jewish peoples and lost much of their ethnic identity, while the Jews maintained theirs even in the exile in Babylon. Each group ended up with their own temple, the Samaritans on Mount Gerizim, the Jews on Mount Zion. And so it is a strange choice Jesus makes to travel through Samaritan territory. Normally, a good Jew would cross the Jordan to the east side and walk around Samaria. And that he strikes up a conversation with a Samaritan woman is even stranger. This conversation beside the well is a surprise in itself. In that place and time, men and women did not speak to each other in public. If you were not part of the family or the clan, you had no business talking to each other. And a Jewish man, who is also a rabbi, a teacher, you expect that he knows what is proper in your life. This is not proper what he's doing. So, no surprise there that the disciples are surprised to see Jesus talk to the Samaritan woman. Still more must be said about that encounter. The nameless one, that's how I'm going to refer to her, is a Samaritan and a woman. And more than that, she is also rejected by her own people, or so we can infer. She comes to the well to draw water at noon, and she comes alone. Noon is the hottest part. If you've ever been in hot countries, you know that you take your siesta at noontime, right? I mean, come on. Mittagsschlaf, whatever you want to call it. You take your rest because it's so hot. It's not a time to go and walk and carry a heavy burden of water. No, this work is usually done in company of others, in the early morning or in the evening. Time for a chat, some social contact. But this woman goes to the well at a time when she will be alone. She actually sees herself as a misfit. She avoids others in order not to be hurt again by their words, their attitudes, or their looks. It is a surprise, therefore, that this conversation even happens. But the conversation itself contains many more surprises. It is a surprise that Jesus promises living water. Living water is water that flows, that runs, that sparkles. Such water is a welcome change from water in wells or cisterns, which may be flat or even stagnant. Jesus and the woman meet beside an ancient well that is more than 100 feet deep and 7 feet wide. At first, the woman presumes that Jesus is talking about some hidden stream he knows about that is far better than the well water. She wants the equivalent of the faucet in her kitchen, so she won't have to haul buckets anymore. And I can't blame her. But what Jesus promises is a source of life in her heart so that she can truly live. She is confused with what he offers. Yet she understands one thing. She understands that there's something she needs, and she needs it desperately. It is a surprise that Jesus knows the details of a stranger's life. Those details remain unclear to us, but it's apparent that she had a painful and unhappy time. She has had 5 husbands, it says. Did the marriages end through death or divorce or desertion? Were they truly marriages or something else? Why is her current husband not truly her husband? We don't have those answers, and I don't think we need to know them. Yet we recognize that this woman feels alone and exiled herself from her neighbors. The woman is surprised that Jesus knows the truth about her. She's even more surprised that, knowing the truth, he accepts her. For her, this is an encounter with the holy. Man must be a prophet. And so we come to another surprise. The woman asks Jesus to resolve the long-standing and divisive question of who is right. Oh, we love to do that, right? Who's right? Now, say a powerful word, right? Jews or Samaritans? Germans or Canadians? Mennonites or Baptists? Who's right? Which is the correct temple? That is, the locality of our worship and everything that's connected with it. Gerizim or Jerusalem? And the surprise comes when Jesus raises the issue to a new level. True worship is no longer to be dependent on location, but will be a matter of spirit and truth. Think about that for a minute. True worship is not a matter of location. So So where does it take place? In you. In you. The conversation ends with one more surprise. The woman confesses her faith in the Messiah who is to come. And Jesus says that he is the Messiah. Jesus reveals his identity not to his disciples, not to his own people, from where he had just left, not to the religious leaders, but to the person that is marginal three times over. She is Samaritan, she is a woman, and an exile for her own kind. You do not even know her name. Yet Jesus entrusts her with the deepest secret, the truth of who he is. And we have been searching ever since. The conversation ends because the disciples come back. But the surprises do not end. The woman leaves her water jar at the well. It is valuable, yet it is heavy, and she wants to be unencumbered, and she runs back into the city. There in Sychar, she tells people to come and see Jesus. She testified, "He told me everything I ever did." Soon a crowd followed her out to the well, and a large crowd that Jesus compares it to the field that is ready to be harvested. These people have accepted the woman's testimony, and they're coming to Jesus. It is a surprise that someone like this bears witness. After all, she is the reject among her own people. A woman with no name, no social standing. Her experience with Jesus is very brief. She has no training. She has not been given a commission. You need one here, right? It's a surprise that people heed her. Yet they do. For there is something attractive, compelling, something authentic about her witness. Here then, we have yet another surprise in a surprising story. This unlikely prospect becomes a witness to Jesus and an effective one. I know, just as a footnote, you know the times when we thought that women were not supposed to speak and preach, right? Yeah. Even the younger one should remember that one. You know what I discovered? The first one to whom Jesus reveals that he is the Messiah is a woman. And the first one who testifies to that is the first preacher, is a woman. And the first one to whom he reveals himself as a resurrection is a woman. And the first one who proclaims it to the disciples is a woman. Of course, the men say, "She talks nonsense." Okay. Here we have that surprise too. An unlikely prospect to become a witness to Jesus. True. She may be a woman of questionable character, or at least she has had plenty of experience with the rough edges of life. True. Her understanding of Jesus is far from complete. Yet she bears witness based on her personal experience. She speaks of what she knows. Her focus is not on herself, but on Jesus. And not only does she point her own people to Jesus, but she shows us how we can witness to him. If Jesus has spoken to us, accepted us, led us to see ourselves differently, then we can bear witness to others even as she did. We don't need to have our life together in every way. We don't need to know all there is to know. What we can do is tell others our experience and leave the results to God. whether becoming the center of attention is what we want or what we fear, that is not the issue. That is not the purpose. We can help people to look not at us, but over our shoulder at Jesus, who stands close behind us. I don't know if some of you are interested in history of arts and stuff. I went through a time where I really immersed myself in that, in the religious art, that is. And I really liked one painting, one drawing, of the Isenheim Altar. Isenheim is now part of France, close to the German border and the Alsace. And in that altar, there's a depiction of John the Baptist. And when you look at the picture, the one thing that will draw your eye, I mean immediately, and you, even if you look at other places, you will always return, there is this very long finger. It's overlong. John is pointing at Jesus, and underneath are the words, I must become less, he must become more, in Latin. But, yes, we do not point at ourselves. If you do that, if you're here for that reason, if you're here because you want to have the good conscience that you have been in church on Sunday morning, and that everybody should know it, then you do draw attention to yourself. That's not it. You're here because we search, we thirst, we hunger, we wonder what it is that God is offering in Jesus of Nazareth. Is he the Christ? And even if we are not always convinced, like this woman at the well, we can say, come and see, perhaps here is the truth. Perhaps all your preconceived ideas of how you are to express your life of faith can be modified, to put it mildly, can be changed. Maybe some of the things you thought were very important are not that important. Maybe some of the rules and regulations that you depend upon are totally irrelevant. Maybe you can encounter the living Christ. And maybe then that living water will splash over and life will be found. You can be that finger. You can be that woman of Samaria who points her people and becomes a witness to the Messiah. It is no longer of what you said that we believe, they tell the woman later, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. God surprises us in many ways, but you know what the greatest, greatest surprise of them all is? That is that our opportunity to witness to Christ based on our own experience. So each one of you, every single one here, young and old, the children included, can be a witness to Christ, can share your story, have the opportunity to speak about your own experience, not because you're important, not because you need the attention, but point to Christ. So, that is our place in the story. You too can be this woman. If you're known or unknown, named or unnamed, accepted or rejected, you can be that witness that says, come and see if this is not the Christ. And then find that faith. affirmed, and confirmed. I have spoken to you in the name of God, a God of surprises, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And if you would please stand for our closing song and remain standing for the benediction.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refined as fire. My heart's one desire is to be choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will, ready to do your will, ready to do your will.
May God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine on you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.